Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston.
And I am absolutely thrilled today that we have Mariela Romero as our guest today. Mariela is Univision Communications Regional Community Empowerment Director, and she's going to talk to us today about embracing change. She implements the corporate responsibility platforms of Univision under the social corporate responsibility property, Contigo. Romero also develops content for special programs and is the author, writer, and producer of the award-winning regional news magazine Conexión Fin de Semana in Philadelphia, Atlanta, and North Carolina. Mariela has received 23 Emmy Awards from the Academy of Television Arts Southeast Region. She has also been voted at, named as one of the most influential Latinas in the state for over 3 years now in Georgia. In 2020, Mariela joined the boards of the National Juvenile Defender Center and the Congressional Hispanic Leadership Institute in Washington, D.C., and she has many, many other boards she serves on. She is a native of Caracas, Venezuela, and she now lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And as I stated, she's going to talk to us about embracing change. Hi, Mariela. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Ramona? Thank you for having me. It's an honor, and I really feel wonderful. Wonderful that you have invited me to share what I'm going to be talking about, which is embracing change.
Well, I'm so happy that you joined us. You know, you're one of the superstars in Atlanta and Georgia and throughout the country. You know, we love your work on Univision and all the community work that you do. And I've seen you several times serving as a mistress of ceremonies for various events, as well as just being involved in the community. So I'm very happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know, when you were mentioning my bio, I think the topic of embracing change is something that I had to face early on in my life. And I think that's why I love talking about it, because growing up, when I was nine, my mom and my stepfather, they got an opportunity to move from Venezuela to another country. And we moved to France. I had to learn another language. It was my first time living outside of Latin America. So, you know, going to the old continent, to Europe, it was a shock. Everything was new. I never knew the seasons, because in Venezuela, you only live with summer all year. And, you know, to see the snow, to learn another language, to eat a completely different kind of food, I had to adapt. And in a way, I embraced that change because I was learning so much and I was loving it. Even though it was painful, because I left my family, my relatives, everything I knew back home. And then after France, we moved to Mexico. So it was another moment of adaptation. And I was also not being a child anymore and became a young lady. So I was going through that internal change. And then once we were settled in Mexico, I had friends, my school, my teachers, you know, my circle. Then we again had to move, and we moved to Buenos Aires, Argentina. And then again, we lived there 6 years. I finished high school, went to college, you know, started my first boyfriend and all that. And then again, back, we have to leave and go back to Venezuela. And after Venezuela, coming to the U.S. So I think in a way, my journey has prepared me for embracing change, because at every turn, I had to face change. And you know, I read recently that change is something that we're going to face, we're going to encounter all the time. And there is no crisis. But if you don't accept the change, then you are in crisis. Sometimes people who don't accept that, you enter into a crisis, but it's yourself. It's not the world that is in crisis. It is you, because you are not accepting that change and how to, and how that change is really, how that premise of the crisis is you. Once you understand that, you start self-reflecting. When I was thinking about, you know, this conversation with you, I thought of all the moments in you know, that were challenging to me. I just talked to you about moving from country to country, but then personally, I had faced two divorces, Ramona, and those were moments very, very painful in my life. But you know, looking back at those moments, I remember them as moments where I learn about myself. And those have made me the person who I am. And I'm grateful for all those painful moments, because the biggest lessons I have learned from those moments of change. And, you know, it's up to me if I define them as crisis or as moments of growth. And also, Ramona, maybe you're familiar with this story, or maybe people who are listening to the podcast. But a friend of mine was sharing with me this story that was very powerful to me, because it illustrates what change is all about, and how those challenges truly, truly could be the treasures of our lives. And it is the story about this boy who was about 12 years old. He was born in Louisville, Kentucky. And during a visit to the annual Louisville Home Show, his red bicycle was stolen. And this boy was totally devastated. He was angry. He was hungry for justice. So he found a policeman and told him what happened. He wanted to, you know, beat up the thief who stole his precious bike. And, you know, everybody will understand where this little boy was coming from. So the policeman advised the boy that he better learn how to fight before he was looking for retaliation. So as it happened, this law enforcement sergeant had a gym where he trained boxers. And the next day, that 12-year-old boy, his name, Cassius Clay,
wow,
showed up for boxing. Did you know that story?
I vaguely remember that. I vaguely remember it. So you just read, that is an amazing story.
It is an amazing story, because, you know, after that boy started training, the rest is history. He became the greater boxer that ever lived, Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. So I want people to think, because that's what inspired me. Had young Cassius not been the victim of a stolen bike, and had not he taken the advice of the police officer, his life would certainly have taken a different path. And we don't know that. But that challenge that he faced was the most transformative moment for his life. So I think all of us have an opportunity every time we have a difficult change that we have to face, that is also an opportunity. And I know for experience, maybe some people are listening to me and they are saying, I'm going through this extremely painful loss or, you know, crippling a diagnosis of a disease or something like that. Don't think that I don't have those situations in mind. But those situations can also be opportunities. And when I have faced, you know, Ramona, when I was going through my second divorce, I thought that my bed was going to suck me. I was going to fall into a dark, dark hole. And I didn't know how to face that. And I had to do it because of my son. He was my inspiration to continue. And, you know, I am a public figure. I had to go to the station every day and tape. I could not cry every day because my coworkers were going to ask me and I didn't want to start crying all over. So I had to hide that and live with it and go through. But I also have to tell you that I had to find some tools to do it. And the biggest tool that I found was to go inside of myself. And if I have to tell you something that I learned is that we all have that wisdom inside of ourselves, Ramona. We just have to learn how to listen to our, not our thoughts, but you know, I read somewhere that it says prayer is us talking to God and silence is God talking to us. Going into that silence is extremely important, extremely important. I encourage people to meditate, to go within, because all of that knowledge is inside of you. And of course, go with friends if you need to go and talk to therapists, of course. You know, we are a village and we need one another to survive. But embrace those moments of change, even as painful as they are.
Ariella, this is amazing. I mean, your whole idea that there is no crisis. You know, we make it a crisis by the way we interpret it. And if you are experience crisis, you only experience crisis when you don't accept the change. Mm-hmm. I just think that is just, for me, that is transformative in embracing the idea that you create your own crisis. Mm-hmm. By the way you interpret your experience. Mm-hmm. And in those moments of crisis, you can either experience crisis or you can experience growth. And even though it's uncomfortable, it's best for you to embrace the growth, right?
Exactly. Embrace the growth. Another example that I can tell you about another difficult moment in my life was when I started working at CNN. My first day was September 11, 2001, believe
it. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my.
That was my first day.
Oh, my.
As you can imagine, unforgettable. But I also learned that day so much. It has prepared me for my career. That day prepared me for everything. I have so much perspective because now I can remember that moment and everything that I faced professionally, nothing is going to compare to that moment when, you know, we had to react to that, cover it, bring information, truthful information to our audience. So I'm not afraid of anything. And it's not that I'm not afraid because I think that I am invincible or that I am the greatest. It's not. It is that day put so many things in perspective that right now if I don't do something perfectly, it's okay. I'm learning. If I have to apologize, I apologize. If I, you know, but it's not the end of the world, because that day I was thinking that that was the end of the world, and nothing compares to that. So that day prepared me professionally for so many things in my career. And after that, having that perspective, it was a gift. It really was a gift. In all of those challenging times, when you surpass them, when you overcome them, become a gift, become a real treasure. And that's how I have chosen to look at those things. And that's why I am grateful for the opportunity that you have given me to talk about this.
So in your moments of crisis, you talked about going within and spending time with yourself. But outside of going within, what type of support systems did you engage? You know, let me just let you answer that. Yeah.
No. It's great. You know, I think instinctively I go first with me. I don't share too much with a lot of people, and I go to the people who are not going to judge me. Those are the first time. You know, and you have people in your family that love you and care for you, and you know, their advice is coming from love, but sometimes it's so judgmental that you still hurt more. So I go with people that can listen to me. Are not going to tell me you should have done this, blah, 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 or judge me, because then I will close up. So that is the first thing. Go with people who are there to support and to listen. Another thing that I do, and is totally unconventional, but I really, really recommend it. When you are in that space of desperation that you feel like crying all the time, you are devastated, I recommend listening or watching comedy. Ramona, mm-hmm. Think that I am crazy, but it is a great tool. You know, when I told you about those nights where I thought that the bed was gonna suck me in, I could not go to bed and sleep. So I started listening to radio that had comedians, 24/7 radio with comedy. And you start laughing and become funny. And something happens in your brain that then life starts making sense again. It's not that hard. And also it gives you perspective, because you say, in the midst of all of this devastation that I'm feeling, I'm still able to laugh. And that is the light that you have to follow. Okay, there is something here. I need to follow that, because comedy makes me laugh still. So not everything is lost. And I will recommend to distract yourself with something else. Focus your attention with something that is going to bring you joy. If it is not comedians, go to nature, go to the park and see the changing of the leaves, something that makes you feel happy, because the most important thing is how you feel. How you feel, the better you feel, you're going to attract other feelings that are going to make you feel better and better and better. You know, when the... It's like a little rope that, you know, sometimes you cannot bring a big boat throwing that rope that is very heavy. So you have to start throwing ropes that are lighter. And then you can bring that boat with the biggest rope, but you start with ropes that are light so they can go farther when you throw them. The same thing is with feelings. You have to start with some feelings of joy and laughter, so then you can start feeling like yourself again, and like the world is worth living. Your life is worth living.
Thank you so much for those recommendations. You know, research has shown that laughter is a healing property. And so it's, you know, many times they say if people are in the hospital, you should actually have tapes on that help them to laugh and everything. So it is healing. So thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, you don't think to go to a comedy tape or when you're in pain, right? But exactly. Hey, whatever makes you laugh makes you feel better.
Correct. And it really is therapeutic because your attention is not in the pain or your illness. It is, oh my God, this guy's making me laugh. Mm-hmm. And that's when miracles happen.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many resources. You can get comedy tapes. You can go on YouTube.
Oh, yes.
It's radio, television.
Correct. Now you have access to laughter all the time.
Yes. And the other recommendation about distracting yourself and just working to feel joy, even if it's a little at a time, because yes, a little at a time progressively moves to more and more and more, just like that rope you were describing.
Yes, exactly. It is that way. It's simple. You know, people would think, wow, but if this is so simple, why not more people do it? And let me tell you, it is that simplicity that makes it so effective, and it is real. It is absolutely real.
You know, so many times we make things more complex than what they are, which you're discussing. You know, we make a crisis situation a crisis by the way we
address
it. You know, we try to look for all these different solutions to our problems when our solution is within. Like you said, our spirit talks to us, right? Uh-huh. Tells us exactly where to go and what to do.
You know, everything we know is wisdom. Every wisdom is inside of us. I will share something, an anecdote that was totally inspired by my feelings inside. It was instinctively, and it is so counter to what we are taught that I don't know how in the world I went through it, and I did it anyways. And this was during that period of time where I was getting divorced. I didn't know, you know, my son depended on me for everything, paying the mortgage, all the bills, etc. And what happened is that I was working freelance for different companies. And one of them was my steady income producing revenue. So they called me one day and they said, Mariela, we have decided we're not going to do our documentaries in Spanish anymore. And, you know, that was my reliable income. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I took the call. I didn't panic. But that same day, I started calling all my contacts, you know, trying to find another job, you know, freelancing, et cetera, et cetera. And I was becoming anxious. So the next day, I woke up with that feeling of anxiousness. And I was going to start doing the same thing. I'm going to call everybody again. Did you hear anything? You didn't know. But something inside of me stopped me and said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. So that day, Ramona, I did not call anybody. I did not think of what other jobs I was going to get. I went to the park and I even went shopping. I was rejecting that feeling of, yes, oh God, what are you going to do? Anguish. That I said, no, I don't want this. And you know what happened the next day, Ramona? The next day, the company that had called me to say, we're not going to do anything in Spanish anymore. They said, we have a school district in Texas. They want 7 documentaries in Spanish. And we decided, you're going to be, not only you're going to translate them, you are going to be the producer.
Yes.
So I, you know, not worrying brought me enough, you know, more income.
and a greater way to expand your talents, right? Now you're a producer.
Isn't that so it, what I say is that something inside of me told me, don't go there. Don't attract that anguish. Don't be panicking. Relax. And I followed it.
Yes, that's it. And that resistance, like you said, that worry is resistance and gets in the way of your prosperity, right? When you reject it, then you end up having a whole nother experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So people will think that is magical. It could be like that if you commit to feeling, you're always feeling good. You have to protect that. Always go for feeling good.
I love this. Well, thank you so much for telling us all about embracing change. You gave us a lot of ideas on what we can do as individuals in order to help us get through so-called crisis, which we got to figure out, we'll say difficult situations, because we don't want to turn them into crisis, right?
Correct.
But you gave us all kinds of tools that we can use, and we really, really appreciate it. Do you have any final comments that you would like to share with our audience?
Well, Ramona, I think going within, knowing that you have that knowledge inside of you, that, you know, every time you feel something is not right, that is your instinct telling you, you know, if you don't want to feel that way, is your system telling you, don't go there, don't go that way, don't feel that way, because you don't want that. So try to find the other things that you like. That is normal. That is your GPS.
Your compass, your internal compass.
Your compass, correct, yes. That yes. was instilled in you. So you just have to start listening to your instincts and go and believe that you have all the wisdom that you need. It is inside of you. And we have to be very proactive at dismantling all that programming that was done to us as children and start seeing the world differently. Because once you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at will change. And that is very powerful. And that is truth.
That is indeed powerful. And thank you so for being so vulnerable to share your story with us, because we really learn through other people's experiences, right? That's the best teacher. And the most powerful statement about just embracing your own intuition. Thank you so much, Mariella. This discussion on embracing change was wonderful, and you're a great person to tell us about it, especially since you've been embracing change since 9 years old. Oh my goodness, running across the world, living in all these different countries. Wow. So we just really, really appreciate you,
you
sharing your story with us, and we look forward to having you back. And the door is always open for you.
Thank you so much. I would love to do that very, very much. So I'm very grateful, Ramona, for you to invite me to your podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I am here with Mariella Romero, who is Univision's Communications Regional Community Empowerment Director. And she is from Caracas, Venezuela, and she now lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Mariella.
Hi, Ramona. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Well, I'm so happy to have you today to give us, I'm a big advocate for higher education, to give those people who want to pursue degrees a strategy for college success. So can you tell us what colleges you attended, what your majors and degrees were, and give us that one strategy that you think will make sure that students are successful in college?
Yes. Well, I went to college in Argentina, In Latin America, it's a little bit different than going to college here, because in our cultures, in our countries, you don't leave home after high school. You live with your parents until you get married. So, you know, I was still living with my parents, and that makes things a little easier as well, because, you know, your mom's still cooking for you and doing the laundry. But that gave me also a lot of an opportunity to do various studies at the same time. So I was going to the Catholic University of Buenos Aires, and I was doing my degree in journalism. And then at the same time, I was going to the University of Belgrano, and I was having my degree in social communications. So, you know, it was a lot. I was like busy all the time, mornings, night. I was taking classes all the time. But it was because I was living with my parents, and they were a big, big support to all of those, you know, the study that I was doing. And of course, they were providing me with the financial support to do that. So I got a degree in journalism and a degree in social communications. And then my parents, you know, encouraged me to get another degree in production and video production, television production. And I was studying at the Centro de Estudios de la Comunicación, which will be like Center for the Studies of Communication, also in Buenos Aires. And I got a degree that was more technical, but it taught me all the language of television. So I learned how to write, produce, and, you know, all the technical side of the television. So one of the strategies that I think it was thanks to the guidance of my parents is that I was studying journalism, like, you know, like an avenue, a concrete avenue to pursue this career. And the mass communications was to understand how social communication worked. But also they gave me the opportunity to be more technical when I was studying the television producing side, because not only did I know how to write and as a journalist, and, you know, all the ethical side of journalism and the history of journalism and the how to write properly, I was also getting I was also learning how to edit, how to light properly. And that has come so incredibly, has been so useful for my career now, because technology has evolved so much that journalists right now don't need a cameraman and an audio guy like when I started. You know, when I started as a journalist, I had to go to the streets with a crew. Now I go with my phone and I can do all those things, and I can edit my own pieces. And thanks to that training that I had, or that studies that I attended, that those classes and those degrees that I got, I was able to, you know, adapt to the changes that my profession has undergone. And I have been able to be a modern journalist because I had all that training in those studies in my pocket.
That's great. So the advice you would give is for students to learn more about their particular field in terms of comprehensively, correct?
Yeah, I think you cannot, even though it would seem like it's better you specialize in one thing, the more the other disciplines that go with your field, is better to also learn about them. Even though you like one more, if, for example, if you like sound more, okay, focus on that, but learn also about video and how they work together, because Right now, the field is so competitive that the more you know, the better equipped you're going to be to face the labor market. So I did not go into this. It was not my strategy. I really was lucky that my parents guided me in that direction. And I was doing, you know, 2 degrees at the same time. But it has proven to be a great source for me because I was able to adapt with the times to a changing. Oh, okay. I will start again. Okay, where do we want me to start?
That's fine. Just, you were talking about learning comprehensively. That's all.
Okay. So yes, you know, luckily I was able to have, you know, I was studying 2 degrees at the same time, and that helped me face this the changing landscape of journalism and TV journalism in a way that I understood many sides, all the components of being in broadcasting.
That is some great advice. Thank you so much. So to students, learn your field comprehensively. Even if you decide to focus on one particular aspect of your field, learn as much as you can about your field, because you never know when those other skills and knowledge will come into play.
And another thing, you know, you're making decisions when you're 18, 20. So the more you know about your field, you might think at the beginning you like sound. But then if you learn the others, you will discover, oh, man, I like this other one better. So, you know, we cannot expect our kids to make decisions about the careers for the rest of their lives when they are 18, 19, and 20. So the more you learn about the discipline that you like and the components that go with it, the better you're going to be, because you might discover something else that you like.
Yes, that was great advice. You know, you're in front of the camera, right? You thought, you know, as a journalist, and then eventually you became a producer. How would you have been able to become a producer had you not had those other skills?
Well, and I did it the other way. I wanted to be a producer.
Exactly. Just the opposite. Exactly.
Correct.
Thank you so much, Mariela, for giving our the people who want to attend college that great piece of advice. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ramona, for having me.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And, of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.